Thanks very much, Don Moretti. By now, I imagine we've finally arrived here at Tararoa on this event, international retreat. I would imagine that most of us have anyway. Some of you have arrived quite recently. But have you really arrived? Have you really arrived? And I wonder, even when I use that mode of expression, whether you really know what I'm talking about. It's a peculiarly Buddhist expression, I think. It's a peculiarly Buddhist way of talking. You know, people say sometimes, oh, I really feel that I've arrived now. Or they might say, between you and me, I have to say that I don't quite feel that I've totally arrived here yet. And I imagine that some people would find that quite an odd way to talk. I mean, after all, you are actually here. You're obviously present. It's totally clear that at some point you must have arrived. Yet there you are, trying to tell me that actually I haven't quite arrived yet. So what on earth would you mean if you did say that? Well, it only starts looking odd when you start examining the actual words that are used. I mean, words and meanings never really coincide. A word is a completely different thing from a meaning, isn't it? We've all become used, over the process of our lives, we've all become used to trying to put our very complex experience into words. But actually, you can't do that. At least not fully and not accurately. The words never fit properly. Simply because words are never the experiences that they're supposed to be pointing to. The word moon is not the actual moon that you can see there up in the sky. They're different things. And it's a very, very basic truth, but it's still very, very profound. The phrase, I don't feel I've arrived here yet, is not the experience of not having arrived. But then what is the experience? What is that experience of not having arrived? I mean, what is an experience anyway in the first place? And there's a vital issue here. There's a vital issue here. It's an issue that's right at the core of whatever the Buddha realized at his enlightenment. Last night and yesterday, many of us heard about what took place when the Buddha gained his enlightenment experience. And today we're wondering what happened to the Buddha next. Well, he just spent weeks absorbing the impact of his realization. Some say it was 7 weeks. Others say it was 9 weeks. But either way, it took him the best part of 2 months to get used to being an enlightened being. He wasn't used to being awakened. He just sat around in the forest, sitting under various trees. He moved from the Bodhi tree. After a week, after his enlightenment, he moved from the Bodhi tree to a giant banyan tree. And he sat there for 7 days, in meditation, without moving. Then he went and sat under the Muchalinda tree, and did the same. After that, he spent a week under the Rajayatana tree. And then he went back to the big banyan tree for another week. He just sat there. That's about all he could manage. And I think it's fair to speculate that the Buddha had a lot going on inside. He'd known the real nature of things. He'd awakened to his own real nature. His awareness had reached way beyond the usual constraints of the body. It reached even beyond time and space. He'd experienced beyond the ordinary mind that's limited by an idea of me and mine, subject and object. He connected up with the whole of existence somehow, in some way. He'd somehow seen the big picture, and we can't really attempt to describe what happened. And it might sound a little bit silly at this point, but do we sometimes ourselves have moments like this? Okay, different in quality, very, very scaled down, but still, I think it's worth recognising that we ordinary human beings do have this ability to see a whole picture, to some extent. The mind can work in this comprehensive, all-seeing way. Usually, on a daily basis, we try to get our mind to work for us. Work a little bit like an employee. You know, within very well-determined lines of inquiry. We tend to treat our body a bit like that as well. We treat our body as though it's a machine or like an animal, like our horse or our donkey, who's just there to carry us around. We forget that we have very little idea what our body and our mind really are. But just occasionally, our mind manages to escape this conviction of ours that we own and control it, that we can own and we can control it. Maybe we dream, or maybe we meditate, or maybe we simply stop doing so many things all the time. And in moments like that, our mind can simply expand. It can get larger, lighter, far more open and spacious. And in Buddhist texts, mind's nature is often compared to the openness of the sky. The essential nature of mind has the sky's all-embracing and transparent quality, open quality. The quality of being everywhere at the same time, just like the sky. And the Buddha's awakening had this quality. And that was what he was getting used to. As he sat under the leaves in the forest, with the trees, he was finding out how he could live in this vastly more spacious world. And in a very special sense, the Buddha was arriving, adjusting to being in this quite different realm of experience. You know, I started by trying to draw attention to that way we use this idea of arrival, as a kind of exercise, trying somehow to evoke this really quite elusive and shifting experience that we all have of inhabiting, if that's what we do, inhabiting this strange, changing body. Trying to evoke that. You know, what it's like being in our world. Trying to evoke that. We take life for granted. We kind of have to. We take life for granted. But Buddhism doesn't do that. Buddhism says, look, you know, look, life is so mysterious. And you can understand its real nature. And when you do that, if you could do that, it'll make all the difference in the world. It'll make so much difference. And understanding the real nature of things, gaining insight into it, is on the whole something progressive. That there's a whole process of awakening. And everyone who practices traverses this process in one way or another. May happen quickly, it may happen relatively slowly.